Hello, Marvelites! You are listening to This Week in Marvel, episode number 591. I'm Ryan Penagos, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I'm the ghost of James M. Iglehart, Lorraine Singh. Ooh, it's me, James.
God, y'all, James was supposed to be here, but
he's supposed to be here today.
Is so busy doing all his Broadway and Hollywood and Hollyway broad Hollywoodness.
But I will say this, Ryan, to brighten your day, I have found a new donut place.
Ooh, wait, but the place you have is already really good with donuts.
I know, but hear me out. There's a place called Duck Donuts where you go up and they have approximately a million donuts. And you walk up and you say, I want these donuts. And then they dip them in front of you and then they give them to you warm. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. You're welcome. It's in White Plains.
This is the official Marvel podcast where we talk about what's happening this week in Marvel, whether it's games, comics, movies, TV, or whatever we're excited about. We got a lot going on.
Yeah. I'm very excited because we have on a special guest this week, Chris Vasquez, who some of you folks might know from the Washington Post TikTok, who is a big Marvel fan and brings lots of Marvel to the news all the time.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, let's hear a little clip from that chat right now.
I don't remember a time in my life where superhero media, and specifically Marvel, wasn't front and center in pop culture. And as a journalist, I think it's hard to just look away from that and ignore it and not say that's a news story or not say that is a whole beat with a bunch of news stories in there.
It's going to be super fun. I can't wait to have him. And also stay tuned because at the end of this episode, we have a very special, a very delicious Marvel Insider code for what? 5,000 points. Fwee, fwee, fwee. That's fwee, a lot of points, baby.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into things because we really, you know, we've been trying to be good about not spoiling things. But I need to talk about Marvel Studios Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. It has been out for a week. If you have not seen it yet, I understand. We're not going to get too spoilery, but y'all, the MCU big screen debut of MODOK is a thing of beauty. I literally threw my hands up and cheered. I was so nervous because he's my favorite character. And it's so good. MODOK is so good. And like watching fans find MODOK and seeing writer Jeff Loveness post about the MODOK of it all, you can feel his love for the character. And I feel like we're going to have a lot of people coming out of this being like, oh, MODOK's the best.
The film is just phenomenal. I'm so excited to see everyone's reaction to Kang, to seeing more of the quantum realm, to all the humor in the film, but also all of the heart and action and just fun. Of course, if you haven't already, go get your tickets, get your second set of tickets, get your third set of tickets. Right now, you can go experience it in theaters. Also, something coming to theaters. We've got a new release date for Marvel Studios. The Marvels coming to theaters on November 10th of this year, along with some awesome new posters. You might have seen the one that has Carol, Monica, and Kamala sort of at three different levels with their symbols radiating energy around them. Super duper awesome poster. We've got Brie Larson returning in the role of Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers. She's going to be joined by Tiana Paris, who was first introduced as Monica Rambeau in Marvel Studios' WandaVision, alongside Iman Vellani, who, of course, appeared as Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Kamala Khan, in the Disney Plus series of the same name, Marvel Studios' Ms. Marvel. Super jazzed for this film. So stay tuned for more info before it hits theaters November 10th.
Very cool. Now, still on the Marvel Studios tip, we now know that Marvel Studios Voices Rising, the Music of Wakanda Forever, is coming to Disney Plus starting next week. This is very cool. It's a 3-episode series that showcases the film's extraordinary team and how they push the boundaries of what a Hollywood score and a soundtrack can be, talking about the creating the immersive, moving experience in the process. So we've got 3 episodes starting next week, February 28th. We're going to follow the Oscar-winning composer Ludwig Göransson and director Ryan Coogler, how they collaborated with musicians and artists from across the globe to craft that score. It's really important. The first one, the episode title is Nigeria, Past is Present. It features Ryan and Ludwig working together in Lagos, Nigeria, which is at the center of a rapidly growing dynamic musical scene. It focuses on the themes of past versus present and technology versus tradition, with Göransson starting each recording day working with traditional musicians and ending the day working with modern recording artists, including Fireboy DML, Bloody Civilian, and Busiswa. And then you've, of course, got episodes 2 and 3 that will release on March 7th and 14th, respectively. I love how much cool behind-the-scenes just material and content and thought and love is available for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. You've got the podcast, you've got the Marvel Studios Assembled episode. Now you have this. It's tremendous.
Oh, yeah. And listen, the hits can't stop, won't stop. Of course, we are looking forward to Marvel Studios Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming on May 5th of 2023. And with that, there is a new wave of Marvel Legends inspired by the film that are rolling out. They're featuring everybody's favorite group of misfits, the Guardians of the Galaxy. We're talking Star-Lord. We're talking Drax, Mantis, Nebula, Rocket, Groot. And also appearing for the very first time, Adam Warlock. And it wouldn't be a new Marvel Legends collection without a Build-A-Fig, a Build-A-Figure, you know, where you get a piece in every single package and then you can build it into one big, beautiful figure, which is always fun. And this one is Cosmo the dog, the best girl in the whole Marvel universe. So each figure has deco and design inspired by the characters' appearances in Marvel Studios Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Lots of points of articulation and accessories and all the cool stuff. Quill has a blaster. Rocket has, of course, a really big blaster. You know how it goes. And of course, you can pre-order these at Hasbro, Pulse, Amazon, Big Bad Toy Store, Entertainment Earth, and basically all other major retailers. And of course, go see the film, only in theaters on May 5th of 2023. Cannot wait. It's a good year for films.
Heck yeah. Let's talk about Black History Month and some of the ways that Marvel is celebrating, because of course we have Marvel's Voices Wakanda Forever, which was just published last week. Something very, very cool. It's got a bunch of great stories in there written by Mira Iadole, Juni Ba, and Adam Serwer. The Juni Ba one, wow. There's some really great stories in there. This is a great one-shot to celebrate Black History Month and the iconic heroes of Wakanda. Also in the issue, Black Panther, Shuri, Okoye, all of them star in this. It's one of our picks this week on Marvel's Pull List, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But speaking of Marvel's Voices, we've got a new season of the Marvel's Voices podcast launching this week. You know, it's going to be super cool. I would love to tell you all about it, but instead, why don't we call up our pal Angelique Roche, do a little chitty chat with her, see what's going on.
Boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Ring, 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 ring. Angelique's phone. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hey, it's Lorraine and Ryan.
Oh, hey, Lorraine and Ryan. What's going on, man?
Angelique, throw me beads. Throw me beads.
I might have to mail them to you. I don't think we're at that technology yet, Ryan.
I'm referring, of course, to you celebrating Mardi Gras. We were talking about it in my household because my wife is from Louisiana and she really wants to take Catherine to Mardi Gras. And she was explaining to Catherine what Mardi Gras was, that you get free necklaces, essentially. And she was very excited by that.
Especially very cute children get free necklaces.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Angelique, as much as we know you are the queen of New Orleans and we only want to talk about Mardi Gras, we also want to talk about Marvel's Voices. Congrats on the new season. Tell us everything about it.
I'm so excited. We are on season 7 of Marvel's Voices. Who knew? Here we are. Just came out yesterday. Our first episode is featuring one of the coolest shows I personally think is out on TV right now, and I am sure y'all will agree, which is Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. We had an opportunity to sit down with one of the producers, Pilar Flynn, who is incredible, just absolutely amazing. And we also got a chance to talk to two of the voice actors, Libe Barrere and Gary Anthony Williams. Libe plays her best friend and her business manager, and Gary plays Nella's grandfather. So it's really cool having this opportunity to talk to such an incredible cast, and it was perfect for this season's theme. So every season we talk to diverse storytellers, kind of painting this full picture of the Marvel Universe. And this year we're actually talking about what it takes and the importance of setting inclusive tables, and whether that's a writer's room or putting together a comic or putting together a Marvel's Voices anthology or a Women of Marvel anthology. What does it mean and how does it change not just the richness of storytelling, but the process when we bring more folks to the table and add these different perspectives to the mix?
Love that.
It's great. Where do I get Marvel's Voices?
Anywhere you listen to podcasts. We have a new episode coming out every week on Thursday for the next 8 weeks. And yo, I cannot wait for folks to hear from this incredible set of guests we got coming.
Also, you get to work on the Marvel's Voices comics and sort of anthology series that come out. What can we expect in the coming weeks, days, months?
Yeah, we got a whole year. It's really incredible. We're going to be doing both digital, online stuff. So obviously you've got the Marvel's Voices Infinity comics, which are coming out regularly there. But then we have the in-print Marvel's Voices anthology. The first one came out February 15th, Marvel's Voices Wakanda Forever. Next up, we're going to have Marvel's Voices Spider-Verse number one, which is actually going to be our biggest Marvel's Voices anthology yet. There's a couple new surprises in there. I don't know what I could tease out yet, but it's going to be really, really dope. We've got Marvel's Voices Pride that's in the works. So we've got a full year of incredible stories. And the great thing that we're doing this year is with things like Marvel's Voices Spider-Verse, we're bringing in folks from all across BIPOC, LGBTQIA, all across our communities that were previously in different books of their own are now going to be coming together, telling stories in the same anthologies. So I'm really excited for folks to get their hands on this.
Finally, a Voices verse.
Ooh. Ooh, I like it.
Well, as you are building the Voices verse, you are very busy. We're going to let you go and do more amazing work. Thanks, Angelique.
Thanks, y'all.
All right. This is a big year for Marvel. 60th anniversary of some of our favorite teams. Of course, the Avengers and now the X-Men. And Ryan, a little bird told me that you're going to be hosting the virtual event for the X-Men 60th anniversary for Marvel Unlimited members. What's going on? What's it about? Tell us.
I am hosting it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to give you behind the scenes information and stories and stuff about 60 years, as best we can, of Marvel's Merry Mutants. There's going to be fan Q&As, live interviews, giveaways. We will have announcements coming. So if you are a Marvel Unlimited annual or annual plus member, you can register and attend this exclusive event for free, which is really cool. You go to marvel.com/X-Men60 event. That's X-Men 60 EVENT. Folks who are slated to be on the show with me include Chris Claremont, Walt Simonson, Luis Simonson, Rob Liefeld, Mark Silvestri, Jerry Duggan, Jonathan Hickman, and more plus special guests from X-Men the Animated Series, Friends of the Pod, Eric and Julia Leewald, and Marvel Studios X-Men 97 writer Bo DeMeo. Holy moly. We got a lot to talk about. It's going to be a long, fun evening. Again, that is Thursday, March 16th at 7 p.m. for Marvel Unlimited subscribers. Go to marvel.com/X-Men60 event to sign up.
And that is 7 p.m. Eastern time. I love some Marvel HQ. I've been working a lot with Marvel HQ, and now there is going to be a new Marvel HQ app. You can now pre-order the new Marvel HQ app published by StoryToys before it launches this May on the App Store and Google Play. StoryToys will develop and publish the app. And this is really cool. It's essentially the Marvel HQ app is going to be an edutainment hub designed for kids that are 4 to 7. They're going to have fun and age-appropriate games, videos, creative activities, books, comics, and interactive characters from across the Marvel universe. They can work on problem solving for coding with a little path game featuring the Hulk. They can get into their creativity doing coloring activities. They can learn to draw some of their favorite Marvel characters. And the app is, of course, going to support young readers with some voice-supported books and digital comics as well. And there's interactive quizzes. There's just a bevy of really cool stuff. Plus, in the video section, there's going to be tons of videos related to popular Marvel series and specials like Marvel's Spidey and His Amazing Friends, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, Marvel's Avengers Mech Strike, which you can check out on the Marvel HQ YouTube channel right now. So tons of great stuff there. Again, pre-order the Marvel HQ app published by StoryToys now on the App Store and pre-register on Google Play. Go get it, especially if you got a little kiddo. They're super cute. I can't wait for people to experience it this spring.
Yeah, I'm excited for Catherine to check it out. And also some of our listeners who have kids, who I mm-hmm. can think of a couple of them who, you know, we hear from now and again. So very, very cool. Something also cool is the return of the Marvel Weekly Pulse newsletter, which is something that's been around for a very long time. Back when I started at Marvel 16 plus years ago, ooh, I worked on the Pulse newsletter as well. It's an email newsletter. it changed a little bit, but I found one from 2010, whoa, right before we were doing some Iron Man 2 week stuff. We were doing content around the promotion for Marvel Studios Iron Man 2. There was a digital comic in there, polls, lots of news, all all kinds of stuff. We're getting ready to go to C2E2. Super fun, but we have brought it back. It's really neat. It gives you basically a rundown of everything that's going on this week in Marvel. It's kind of like a great companion piece to This Week in Marvel. And if you want to get it, make sure you're a Marvel Insider member and sign up for the newsletter there. I know some of you who maybe internationally aren't able to sign up for Insider, so don't worry, we're working on more ways to get the Pulse newsletter, so stay tuned.
Hey, there we go. For you folks who love comics, there's a new program between Marvel and Essential Sequential. They are going to make an official print available to purchase online at upcoming conventions. So it's built to support artists by creating new officially licensed high-quality art prints designed for fans and collectors. And that artwork is going to be available, and it includes high-quality prints, posters, and lithographs in multiple sizes and formats. And some of the first artists to have artwork available for Marvel Signature include the incredible Umberto Ramos, who we love from Spider-Man comics, especially Arthur Adams, Brian Stelfreeze, Jen Bartel, Ed McGuinness, Adam Kubert, just a real rogues gallery of the greatest guns out there slinging art. If you're interested, go check out EssentialSequential.com to see and purchase the prints. There's going to be more coming soon, so look out for that.
Lorraine, Jen Bartel, She-Hulk number one cover. That's
one
of the prints.
Oh my God, it's so good. I just saw it.
Oh, there's some really great stuff in there. This is a cool program. If you want officially licensed Marvel art, this is a way to do it. But we have a lot more, as Lorraine said, more comic stuff to talk about, including a big announcement of Ultimate Invasion. Coming this June, we've got Jonathan Hickman, writer, and Brian Hitch, artist, launching an all-new Marvel Comics epic that takes the Ultimate Comics in a shocking new direction. It's a four-issue series presenting a surprising new chapter for Ultimate Comics and bold new strides for Marvel's iconic heroes. Of course, Brian Hitch was the artist on Ultimates over 20 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. And Jonathan Hickman is the man who destroyed the Ultimate Universe in Secret Wars in 2015. So it's pretty cool to have them together. There's quotes and stuff on Marvel.com talking about how they've been wanting to work together and this is fun. And, you know, Brian is like, this is big, widescreen, epic storytelling that I am just built for. I really love. We've got preview pages already that you can see. Brian's art and Alex Sinclair's colors showing the Maker, aka Evil Ultimate Universe Reed Richards, talking with Miles. There's some pages of the Illuminati back together again to
tackle
the Maker.
Wait, so you're saying he's evil in all universes?
Take that
Reed Richards.
Yeah, you suck. And then like the cover shows the original Ultimates team, which is cool. This one is gonna be a banger. Issue number one is on sale June 21st. Super excited for this one.
Yeah, and while we're talking about Brian Hitch, there's a cool new tease for a project coming this summer called Contest of Chaos. Mm-hmm. It's a super incredible teaser image that Brian Hitch did featuring a ton of heroes fighting. There's Cyclops versus Captain Marvel, Human Torch versus Ghost Rider, Wolverine versus Spider-Man, Deadpool versus Venom, and lots more. This is going to be awesome. Super looking forward to Contest of Chaos.
I'm here for what we're doing summer 2023. You know, Ultimate Invasion, mm-hmm. Contest of Chaos. And we've also teased a summer 2023 crossover between the Star Wars titles. Now, all we have is an image showing the logos of our four Star Wars comics, Star Wars, Star Wars Dr. Aphra, Star Wars Darth Vader, and Star Wars Bounty Hunters. But there's also a quote, which is, quote, "First, it comes for the medal," end quote, which I think goes back to a specific Star Wars one-shot we released late last year. I won't tell you which one, but it's a one-shot released at the end of 2022 for Star Wars. All the you can figure that out, dear listener. Maybe go check that out, get a little tease.
So much to look forward to, including Women's History Month. So, of course, with that, we have to have our Women of Marvel back in full effect. We have Women of Marvel number one coming to comic stores near you on March 22nd. It is a big, beautiful one-shot that is going to feature some really phenomenal talent. Melissa Flores, Victoria Ying, Carola Borelli, Julia Gulazzi, and the Gibbs sisters, Shawnee Gibbs and Chanel Gibbs, Rebecca Roanhorse, just lots of wonderful people. So definitely check it out. And of course, it's going to spotlight some really phenomenal female characters in the Marvel Universe, like She-Hulk, America Chavez, Kate Bishop, Black Cat, Silk, even maybe a Photon and Ms. Marvel story. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to head over to New Orleans and get into some crime fighting fun. I don't know. Check it out and look out for more with lots of folks, including creator interviews, essays, and lots of great stuff in that big old one shot on March 22nd.
Maybe you're getting ready for the new Doctor Strange number one, which is coming out in just a month. We've got a brand new trailer. It is written by Jed MacKay, drawn by Pasquale Ferri. It's very cool. It's a new ongoing Doctor Strange series, really getting him back to being the Sorcerer Supreme in the Marvel Universe. Clea is going to be right there because she is also a Sorcerer Supreme of the Dark Dimension, and they're back together in love. She's the best. Jed writes like my favorite Clea. So good. And there's lots of other characters in there. Really cool. That's coming out March 22nd. Again, watch that trailer right now on Marvel's YouTube or Marvel.com.
We love to see it. And you know what else we love? Spider-Verse is back, baby. And it's kicking off with The Edge of Spider-Verse number one, which is going to be on sale on May 3rd, written by Carla Pacheco, Xander Cannon, and more. We're also going to have some really great artists on this book, like Guillermo Sana and more. And in this first issue, we're going to ask, who is the spider killer? Xander Cannon is going to introduce one of the scariest spider characters ever created, and one of the most talked about new characters in the last year makes his roaring return. Spider-Rex is back, as well as a new Venomsaurus. Get into it. I love all the characters that get introduced in The Edge of Spider-Verse, taking us across the Spider-Verse to meet new Spideys. Look out for issue 2 on May 30th, written by David Hine, who is the writer of Come From Away on Broadway, if you are familiar, as well as Luciano Vecchio on art and more. And it's going to have the spinstress. I love spinstress. Her design is so good. She's essentially if like a princess world existed and she were also a spider person. It's phenomenal. Of course, look out for those issues kicking off in May, and more Spideys. All the Spideys. Give us more Spidey.
Spidey, Spidey, Spidey.
Spidey.
One last kind of bit of comic thing is that the American Library Association has picked 4 Marvel graphic novels for their Best of 2022 list. It's never too late to go check out stuff you might have missed from last year. And the 4 that they have chosen are the Demon Days Treasury Edition, which is the big collection of Demon Days by Peach Momoko, which is really good. Fantastic Four Full Circle, which is so good, written and illustrated by Alex Ross with great colors by Alex and Josh Johnson. Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, written by Marike Nijkamp, with art by Anid Balam, Orin Jr. and Boto Poggi. And then Shuri and T'Challa, Into the Heartlands, written by Roseanne A. Brown, with art by Dika Rojo, Natasha Bustos, and Claudio Aguirre. We did have an interview with Roseanne Brown from April 15, 2022, if anybody wants to hear more about Shuri and T'Challa Into the Heartlands, which was a great book. So these 4, if you missed them, I think this is a great reason to go check them out.
Yeah. Also, we've got some great stuff going on in video games for you Fortnite players. You can now get Captain America Sam Wilson. He is now soared into the Fortnite item shop for a limited time, and he's geared up and ready for battle. This Captain America, aka Sam Wilson, is inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of his costume. He has Cap's shield, he has back bling and a pickaxe, and additionally the XO7 Falcon Wings glider. And it's a fresh recreation by the Wakanda Design Group. And those are all now available, so go get them while you can.
All I've been doing, really, when I have time to play video games, is playing Marvel's Midnight Suns. Venom is now playable in the game. Y'all, I freaking love this game so much. It is so fun. It is jam-packed with stuff. I did a hero op mission where you can send your heroes off to help other characters. And the mission, you have to go help out Moon Knight and his Midnight mission and like characters that have only been around for a couple of months. It's like so tuned in to everything that's going on across Marvel in really great ways. It's so smartly written and funny and weird. I love it. So this one, now this week, I've got even more stuff to play with it because Venom is now playable. It's the second of 4 DLC updates for the game. And it's not just like, oh, you can play as Venom. It's a whole big DLC pack with a storyline called Redemption featuring playable Venom. You get new cosmetics. You get new team-up abilities. They show some of it in a trailer. New Abbey upgrades. So your headquarters has some new stuff that it can do. Mephisto is up in this biz with his demonic nastiness. It's going to rule so hard. The Deadpool one is a whole lot of fun. I expect nothing but the same and more with the Venom one. Of course, This is included in the season pass, or you can get it on its own. I would say get the season pass, get all the DLC, because they're all going to be super duper fun. Mm-hmm. Marvel's Midnight Suns is available on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. It's so good. I adore this game so much.
Yeah, so fun. We would be remiss if we didn't see Kang get into the games a little bit. So Kang has joined Marvel Strike Force. He is heading up the Masters of Evil and is now the new big bad in the game. If you haven't already, go download Marvel Strike Force on your iPhone or Android device. Super fun. Go get a little time travel mischief while you're at it.
Yeah. Let's talk about podcasts. Marvel's Wastelanders Doom has been nominated for an Ambi Award for Best Production and Sound Design. The Ambies, presented by the Podcast Academy, are the preeminent award celebrating excellence in audio. The Ambies will be presented live in Las Vegas on March 7th, 2023, and will be live streamed on Twitch. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and shout out to Ellie Pyle and Jill DeBoff and the entire audio team on such an amazing achievement. Super duper cool. All right, that's not the only podcast in town, Ryan.
Yeah.
What's going on over on Marvel's Pull List this week?
Marvel's Pull List is our podcast focused on Marvel comics. And this week we had a really fun one. Our picks of the week, the ones that we really want you to check out, are Deadpool number 4, which is a extremely violent and wild rom-com with Deadpool. It's really good. Sabretooth and the Exiles number 4, which continues to blow my freaking mind about everything that they're doing with Sabretooth and a lot of other characters in there. And Strange Academy Finals number 4, which is also super duper terrific. Probably my favorite issue of all the Strange Academy books so far. Really, really great stuff in there. And then our reading club, where we pick a book from Marvel Unlimited and chat about it with someone. We are talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Lost and Found, with the artist of that series, Javier Garon. You will fall in love with Javier instantly. He is the sweetest.
He's sweet boy.
We talk about that series. You can read all about that on the show notes, get all the information. We also, someone asked me on the show this week for like recommendations for X-Men stuff. So in the show notes for Marvel's Pull List, I have a giant starting places and recommendations list for X-Men comics. Anybody wants to start X-Men, I have a lot of ideas in there. Go check those out. Of course, just listen to the show. It's out every Tuesday. Listen on the SiriusXM app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you have it. All right, coming up soon, we're going to have our chat with Washington Post associate TikTok producer Chris Vasquez and a whole lot more. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
All right, you are, of course, listening to This Week in Marvel, and I'm Ryan Penagos.
I'm Lorraine Sink. So as promised, we have Washington Post associate TikTok producer Chris Vasquez, who, if you are not already following the Washington Post on TikTok, is a joyful, great way to get news, but especially because Chris has made it his personal agenda to make sure that no news story, no matter how far afield, includes the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Marvel Comics storylines, something somehow always invades the Washington Post TikTok, and we love it. So we wanted to have him here on the show to talk about his love of Marvel and, of course, his variant cover TikTok series that he's been doing for the Washington Post, where he talks about the Scarlet Witch and so much more.
Let's do it.
Ryan, I'm so excited. All of my TikTok scrolling has finally paid off. I'm here. And we have a great guest joining us. We have Chris Vasquez, associate TikTok producer of Washington Post and Marvel fan extraordinaire. I think I'm allowed to offer you that new title to your title at the Washington Post.
I think it fits.
Okay, good. We're so glad to have you on. You've been doing lots of Marvel talking. We do lots of Marvel talking, so it feels like kismet.
Amazing. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Chris, I will tell you, I was in a meeting a couple weeks ago. We were talking about comic stuff here at Marvel, and I mentioned we were going to be talking to you. Like, 4 people were like, I love Chris, he's the best. And these are like people making our comics. So you're reverberating your joy for comics onto us, which goes back onto you. And it's just become this nightmarish joy spiral that is taking the world by storm.
That's so cool. I'm glad to hear it.
We said that you're a Marvel fan, of course, but so we want to know, what is your Marvel origin story? How'd you first get connected to the Marvel characters? How'd you first learn about them? What was it for you?
Yeah, so I've been a webhead since an early age. I remember some of my earliest memories are going to the theaters and watching the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. And so, like, the upside-down kiss with MJ, that's, like, a core memory for me. I guess I liked it enough to, like, make my parents order me a whole DVD set of the 1967 animated series that I still like to watch on Saturday mornings.
Amazing.
And, yeah, I kind of fell off after that for a few years, but started getting back into comics, just checking out trade paperbacks and stuff for my library around college. And then I really put the pedal to the metal when WandaVision was coming out. And then when that ended, the thought of not seeing my dear friend Wanda Maximoff for over a year was so unbearable to me that I went through her whole publication history and got connected to a bunch of other comics that way.
That's like some really solid bragging rights to do like a whole dive. I hope you read the Scarlet Witch and Vision little mini series that they did. Iconic classic for me. If you love WandaVision, you got to do it.
I love it. Yeah, the issue where Magneto comes to Thanksgiving is the funniest issue to me.
Oh, it's so good. There's so many good threads there. All of the stuff about how they name one of their kids after Wonder Man, which is weird, but like, I respect it, is all the best. So I've been watching you for some time now. I've been spending a lot of like the COVID lockdown with you, I feel like. But can you explain to anyone who is not yet on the Washington Post TikTok what you do?
Yeah, so I basically take news stories that the Washington Post publishes and I make sketches about them on TikTok to inform a TikTok audience about what's going on in the world that day. And a lot of times I like to do that using references from Marvel movies, shows, and comic books because it makes it more fun for me and I think makes it really accessible for a wider audience who might find a lot of these stories scary or just confusing. But if I could break it down with this shared fandom that we have, I think it makes it easier for all of us.
Yeah. There's a quote that we've always used at Marvel when we talk about, you know, how do you break into comics? It's breaking into comics is a lot like breaking out of jail. Once someone does it one way, that way is forever closed off. You can't do that way. The way I got into Marvel and to comics is different from Lorraine, is different from every single person in our industry. But you're making the TikToks for a living for the Washington Post. How do you do that? Is that way available to others?
I definitely think it is. I think, you know, the great thing about social media is that it really democratizes the way that people can gather information and disseminate information. I think one thing that I've been really lucky to do is be able to work at a place that has all these practices in place for the way that we do that. And that, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a salary and a job and be able to do this and be in here day in and day out in the TikTok mind trenches and just kind of see what do I want to cover today? What's the best and funnest way to do that? And yeah, for anybody else trying to do that, I think there's a million ways to break into journalism, to break into content creation, to break into the intersection of those things. Just try your hand at it and see what happens.
Heck yeah. I also, very similarly, I had a different path than Ryan, but like I was making content just talking about Marvel and then eventually one day Marvel hired me to do it for them. I had to do it a long time for free for myself, but you know, I was just doing it anyways in my living room, so why not? But I have to ask you a question. What's on your For You page? What does it look like?
This might be controversial here, but I've fallen into Robin talk. So a lot of like DC Comics fans talking about the Bat family and specifically the Robins. I'm not a particularly big reader of Robin comics, but I'm intrigued by it. But
the algorithm has pinned you.
It has, yeah. Something about me. But yeah, I'm very intentional about like whenever I see something about comics or about Marvel or any other, you know, shared fandoms that I have, I just try to watch it through, like it, just kind of tell the app, this is what I want to see, show me more of this. But that's what my For You page is like. It's a lot of animatics, a lot of little sketches about different comic book characters going about their days. It's a lot of fun.
Hmm. So for you, what was that conversation like when you're at the Washington Post and you're like, I want to do more Marvel stuff in the content that we're producing? What was the reaction? How did that really come together?
So basically our daily process is we just kind of drop scripts for TikToks into a shared Google Doc. And if other people like it, nobody will ask any questions. So one day I just kind of started like incorporating more Marvel references into my work and nobody asked any questions. And I just kind of went for it. I do think it took a while to reach the right audience. I think I was trying to put in little Easter eggs. Like I have a homemade Wanda doll that a friend made for me for my birthday that I try to give as many cameo appearances to as possible. I tried making some more explicit references after that. It took a while, I think, to find the right audience. But after keeping at it, I remember there was one day where I posted, I forget what the TikTok was, but I got a bunch of comments being like, oh, I watched this and I loved it, or I read this comic and I loved it, or I picked up on that reference. And, you know, it was like the day where I finally broke through to the nerds. And I was like, at long last, I've been working so hard and it finally happened. And then since then, the audience has just kind of kept on growing. It just hasn't gone away. And I've been really grateful for that.
So you're creating your own Washington Post cinematic universe. Eventually, all the TikToks will tie together into a 20 film plus saga.
You know, longer video is all the rage these days. So as soon as I can make a 3-hour TikTok, that's just a big crossover event. It's going to happen.
I can't wait. But, you know, it's really moved out of, you know, just even referencing things. You have a series called Variant Cover, which talks about all kinds of different topics. How did that series come about for you?
I think I have kind of been slowly entering this world of Marvel fandom and comic book culture over the past couple years, but it's been present for my whole life. I don't remember a time in my life where superhero media, and specifically Marvel, wasn't front and center in pop culture. And as a journalist, I think it's hard to just look away from that and ignore it and not say that's a news story, or not say that is a whole beat with a bunch of news stories in there. And so I think there are just so many questions that raises about, you know, how is this affecting our culture? How is this affecting other aspects of our lives, not related just to pop culture? You know, Marvel has become such a cultural institution and superhero media has become such a huge thing that it's hard to not ask journalistic questions about, you know, how are we engaging with this and what impact is it having?
I want to go back to Scarlet Witch a little bit now, because you mentioned diving into her entire history. You mentioned, of course, the classic Thanksgiving issue with that wonderful cover. Lorraine, you and I have talked about that multiple times over the years. You in particular, it's one of your favorites, I know. But Chris, what are some of the other issues or stories of Scarlet Witches that you really like? And what in particular connects you to Wanda?
I recently reread The Trial of Magneto, and I love that book. And I think one thing that I loved about going through Wanda's publication history, and I think this is a common experience for a lot of comic book fans, is that when we get hooked on one character, we'll read a bunch of their stuff, and then we'll get connected to a bunch of other characters. And so I read The Trial of Magneto last year as it was coming out, and I was like, this is a great Wanda book. But then after diving into a bunch of other, you know, mutant books, I reread it now, and I'm like, this is also a great Lorna book. This is also a great Magneto book. Obviously, he's a title character, but, you know, I love the way that that book deals with familiar relationships, with complicated ways that we engage with people who have seriously hurt us, and the way that we try to repair those relationships, the way that we try to atone for things that we feel like we've done wrong or things that we have done wrong. And going forward into the Scarlet Witch's character arc, going into Steve Orlando's solo series at the Hellfire Gala, where she's deemed this great ally of Krakoa and announces the X-Men team, I think there's just a really interesting arc there of Wanda going from this person who, in the original 60s comics, was really written as this character who needed protection, going into the Englehart run of the Avengers, this character who was really coming into her own with her own powers and had her own whole thing going on. And then from there, trying to build this whole life for herself and her whole family, then the trauma of having all of that taken away, acting out in ways that are not great after that, and then trying to atone for that and repair relationships in the wake of that. There are various parts of that that I relate to and various parts of it that I just find really powerful and moving and impactful, especially looking at it as one big story that's been going on for over half a century. It's just so interesting to see all that roll out.
I love that. There's a writer that I really love, Kelly Sue DeConnick, who said that Marvel is essentially the longest documented ongoing story in human history.
I remember hearing that on your podcast.
On my other podcast, yeah, Marvel's Declassified. But, you know, that really sticks with me because, like, how often do people, like, live their entire lives alongside a character? It's pretty rare. But, you know, speaking of Scarlet Witch, I loved you had a TikTok talking about how Scarlet Witch has become, like, a queer icon, which I thought was just, like, a really cool, interesting take, and also, like, something that I feel like, yeah, I've experienced that in the world. What inspired you to make that as a TikTok and to pitch it for the series, and what were your findings?
So there was a Washington Post article the day after the Super Bowl, basically just ranking the best Super Bowl ads, and I wrote out this whole script where my teammates, Dave and Carmella, are giving a recap about what all the other top ads were, but I just keep going back to the Multiverse of Madness trailer that aired that night, and I'm looking like really caffeinated and unhinged, and there's my Wanda doll behind me. And somebody commented on that video saying, everybody in the Alphabet Mafia loves Wanda. And I was like, I didn't know that. So let me follow up on this. And yeah, I just made a TikTok being like, is this true? Like, if it is for you, do you want to talk to me? I got hundreds of responses, I think, over email and DM, and then talked to a couple dozen people, I think. And they all just kind of told me that Wanda's whole arc, especially the way that it deals with her going through trauma and healing from trauma, and her search for chosen family, as well as trying to repair relationships with her biological family, are things that they relate to a lot. So her familial ties and the way she experiences and moves on from trauma were the biggest things.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and I'm glad we have those connections that maybe we as readers or as viewers don't see initially, but when you recognize that in others, I think that's part of the shared community that makes it all so special around Marvel. I'm sure as you're doing these videos, you see that community grow. Are there any other of those types of connections that fans have come up with that maybe you didn't notice previously?
I've been trying to keep an eye out for these specific relationships that viewers have with certain characters or certain arcs. I've definitely been seeing a community pop up around variant cover, and that's been really exciting to see. To have all these people who really are invested in the ways that stories about identity and stories about Marvel or pop culture intersect and how those things are just so closely intertwined. And yeah, you know, a lot of people that I've interviewed, they've also told me about how their identities, they will bring them to their readings of certain comic book characters and how they'll form bonds with them over that. A lot of Jewish fans will feel really attached to these characters that were created by, you know, Jewish comic book creators at their inception. A lot of queer fans will relate to a lot of characters who have been able to come out explicitly as queer in recent years and decades, or with other characters who just have similar arcs to their own journeys through queerness, regardless of what their gender or sexual orientation is. And so there definitely are those parallels there that people see. And I think that's kind of inevitable when you have characters with, you know, decades and decades of continuity behind them. There's going to be all of these things that you can latch onto and all these stories that you could relate to or take comfort in or just kind of engage with in a way that might expand from a creator's original vision, but that is really important to you.
I love that because I always think that there's something magical that happens between a comic book or a film or anything else, like going out into the universe, in which like your ownership of something is something so unique to you. When you read the book, you will always be like, but no, it happened this way. And that's how I experienced it when I read it. And it will always belong to you in that way, which I just, something that I absolutely love about, especially reading, I think is pretty magical in that way in particular. Obviously, getting to delve more into the comics and the stories, clearly you grew up with Spidey. I think we all fall in love with Spidey first. He's got those big eyes that are like very inviting and charming, and he's funny and we love him. Scarlet Witch is a queen, but are there other characters that you've started to fall in love with? Are there characters that you love to hate from the villains table or beyond?
So I'm definitely entering a Polaris phase, and that's inevitable at this point. So when I reread Trial of Magneto, I was like, this is a great Lorna book. I'm trying to go back into her whole publication history now. I'm trying to convince my boyfriend to have a whole like Magneto family tree up on our wall one day when we can fit it. But yeah, other characters. I've been reading Vita Ayala's New Mutants run, and there's a recent arc where Ileana tries to make Madeline Pryor Queen of Limbo again. And that whole story about, you know, just again, the ways that these characters go through so much, the way that they engage with trauma, try to move on from it, the way that the people around them might not always understand it or engage with it in the right way, and the way that that impacts them. I think it literalized a lot of things about moving through trauma in ways that only a superhero comic can. So seeing Ileana's like big giant sword shatter was such a great metaphor for what happens when all your coping mechanisms for dealing with your trauma like literally shatter. And her reaction to that was just so spot on. Her seeing her older self in limbo and talking to her about, you know, older Ileana, not like condescending to younger Ileana as his protector, but seeing her as this ally and helping her navigate this world. And then our Ileana talking to a younger Ileana and being like, I don't want you to have to grow up to be like me, even though you admire how strong I am because of my trauma. Like, there was just a lot there about taking your trauma as a source of empowerment, but also wishing it didn't happen and also admiring your older self for getting through all that and having sympathy for your younger self and the ways that the people around you engage with that and how sometimes there are missteps, but how they're always there for you at the end of the day. There's just a lot there. So in short, I'm also entering an Ileana phase.
I love that. It's also like inner child work that you do in therapy, and somebody's just giving it away from the pages of a comic book.
Thanks, Vita. I also, there was an earlier New Mutants issue where in like one of the back pages, there was like a list of journaling prompts that somebody was giving to Warpath, I think. And I was like, I'm writing these down. I'm taking a picture of this, and I'm going to use these because these are just here for free for me to use. And they've been great.
Amazing.
Ilyana is one of my favorite characters, and I think all the discussions of trauma and everything that she's gone through and her strength and everything that we've seen creators bring through with her over the years. I mean, it goes back to, I remember when as a kid when she died, when they killed her with the friggin' legacy virus, which was, you know, an analog for HIV and AIDS, and it was just like dealing with that as a kid, reading it and then seeing it and having her come back. There's so much to it, but I will say, I would cheap plug right here, if you're a fan of that story and Ilyana, in September of 2020, we had Leah Williams on my other show, Marvel's Pull List, to talk about the original Magic series, which gives all those stories. And Leah and I really talk about trauma, and we go into like some deep stuff, getting to the meat and potatoes of how that character was created, what it means to various creators, both those who made her and those of us who have been reading her for years. So yeah, Ilyana is the best choice for you to talk about here because, man, we are big Magic fans over here.
And now you can play Marvel's Midnight Suns where you can hang out with her. So 10 out of 10, just available to you.
I've been getting a lot of Midnight Sun recommendations, and the chance to hang out with Ilyana might be the thing that pushes me over the edge.
Do it. Now, you mentioned Marvel Studios' WandaVision. Obviously, fan of that. It's an incredible series and so beautifully, you know, just shot and just a beautiful design overall. But do you have any MCU films that are particularly near and dear to you?
I'm sure everybody's saying this now, but Wakanda Forever, I had a great time watching. I think one of the themes that I really loved in that movie is the through line of how not just grief, but specifically how grief interacts with the belief systems that you're raised in and how those things could either mesh together really well or really clash together, depending on who you are and how you engage with it. As a webhead from birth, I really enjoyed No Way Home. I have not seen the More Fun Stuff cut yet, though I sadly missed out on the More Fun Stuff. And yeah, She-Hulk was a lot of fun. I think one big thing for me for WandaVision is that this was, you know, mid-lockdown, pre-vaccine, and my roommates and I had a tradition of every Friday night, we would get takeout from somewhere, we'd come back home, we'd play a board game, and we'd watch an episode of WandaVision. And so it has a really special place in my heart for me there, where this show about, you know, this woman trying to get her family back, essentially, I was watching with my chosen family, and it was just a really special time for me. When She-Hulk was coming out, I had just moved to a new city, and I would have a friend from college come over every weekend. She would watch an episode with me and my boyfriend whenever it would come out. And so, you know, I think one thing that connects me to superhero narratives in general is how often team-ups can parallel chosen family relationships, and being able to watch those things and engage in those stories with my chosen family, those are the ones that really speak to me the most.
That's beautiful. What a way to wrap up our chat with you. Thank you, Chris. Everybody, go check out the Washington Post on TikTok. And Chris, where can they find you?
They could find me at By Chris Vasquez, B-Y-Chris, V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z, on most social media, and at Washington Post on TikTok.
Go follow them. It's an excellent follow. I learned so much about the world. And then also I get Chrissy Wake Up stuck in my head. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
We are finally in the golden hour, the golden time period where many people will have seen Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. So let's get into it. Let's try to keep the spoilers to a minimum. Let's not talk about what happens after the credits, babies. But tell us, what is your favorite moment for Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania? I have undying love for William Jackson Harper, a.k.a. Chidi from The Good Place, a.k.a. a new addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who has brought me just so much joy. Also, shout out to Veb.
It's just so good. One of my favorite moments, too, is I have holes. I just, oh my God, ugh. Drink the ooze.
Oh, God. It's so good.
So good.
So good.
But yeah, the correct answer is everything MODOK. Also, the correct answer is everything Kang. Also, the correct answer is all the family stuff. You know, I really, watching it a second time, liked it even more. I really had such a good time with it.
It's a blast. It's just like a fun movie, too. That's the best part. It's just an enjoyable, delightful, crazy, wild romp. But of course, you can tweet us your answers using hashtag ThisWeekInMarvel, email them to twinpodcast@marvel.com, or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/ThisWeekInMarvel. And of course, tell us if it's okay to read on the show by saying okay to read in your tweet and or comment and or Facebook message or whatever, so we can read it on the show.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the community section, because last week's question of the week was, if you had Kang's abilities and powers and technology, where and when in the Marvel multiverse would you go? We got some great answers, starting with Princess Cadenza at Queen Andromeda 6, who said, into the dark dimension so I can experience the mind-boggling aesthetic. That is a choice, because it's dangerous in there. But I guess if you've got all of Kang's powers and technology and abilities, you're just like, whatever.
All right, next up, we've got Loy Tannenbaum at Turns 1701E, who said, I'd love to check out the new universe, since that universe aged in real time. It'd be neat to see the kids and grandkids of the 80s characters. Aw.
Joe Maximoff at JoeMark_Magmanua says two things. One, go to Earth 838 and defend the Wanda there from the people, who would surely be mad at her. And two, travel to this world beyond the fourth wall. Threaten Feige to announce a Scarlet Witch solo film with Elizabeth Olsen's return. Joe, wow. Come on.
Full villain turn there.
Wow. Please do not threaten anyone. You know, that's not how we do this.
We nicely ask. We nicely request.
Yes.
Punjan Pajapati at Punjan_photo said, with Kang's abilities, I would go to the Avengers Infinity War events. With his powers of being able to manipulate space and time, I would be able to travel through the different timelines. That way, it would be the same as what the Time Stone does. Oh, I like that.
Wow. You're just going to cause all kinds of chaos. Great. Mr. Fantastic at Semi-Pro Flips tweets, I would definitely visit some of the different universes we saw in Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I'd go with the prehistoric universe and then back to ancient Egypt around the time of Apocalypse and Kang, trying to avoid them in person. Good luck. I can imagine that the ripples that your presence would cause would attract a Kang or an Apocalypse easily. All right, we got an email from Henrik Hansen, who said, Marvel Studios Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania was amazing. I loved MODOK. Beautifully realized. Well said, Henrik. Henrik continues saying, if I could go to any time and place, I would pick 1970s New York City. I would get a job as a film critic at the Daily Bugle. J. Jonah Jameson was a teddy bear, really. I would become Peter Parker's best bud, even though that would A, put me in mortal danger, and B, put me at risk of becoming a supervillain. For me, it would be totally worth it. I would also find a spot at Ben Grimm's poker table. With Spidey, lots of opportunities, and yes, you would definitely be going down a bad path no matter what.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. You become his friend, that's it. Nothing good can happen after that.
Big thanks to Mika, who sent us a bunch of emails answering some of our older questions of the week, but we're sharing them with the team, so thank you for answering those. And then over on Facebook, Carly said, the places I'd go in the multiverse would be hanging out with Gamora and Rocket on 90s Earth, just having fun. Japan 1610 to hang out with Rocky Nirohita and Piper Quill, like eating sushi and doing karaoke. Maybe hang out on Wundagore, but avoiding the High Evolutionary and hanging out with Rocket and try to be in his friends group. Of course, Carly is our friendly raccoon girl. So pretty much all Rocket answers all the time, which I like that one. And a message from Raphael over on Facebook, who said that they nerfed his Silver Surfer card, which happens. They changed Silver Surfer on Marvel Snap. But I'll tell you this, Raphael. I'm still getting housed by certain cards like Silver Surfer once in a while. So play it smart. You can still win.
All right. Listen, we have come to the most important point in the show. If you have been waiting for a Marvel Insider Code, baby, this is your moment. This is your moment to shine. Go get your pin. Go get your paper. Because it is time. If you're not signed up already, please head over to marvel.com/insider, where you can earn points for doing stuff like reading comics, checking out articles, even listening to this podcast can get you points. Plus, we have a very special code for you listening to this episode. That code is WEEK2023, week 2023. And this code is going to be valid until March 3rd of this year at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. You have until then to get 5,000 Marvel Insider points when you enter in the This Week in Marvel podcast code redeem activity at marvel.com/insider. There are a limited number of redemptions available. Only one redemption code per Marvel Insider, so don't think you can enter it 5,000 million times and get all the points that have ever pointed. Limited number of redemptions available. One redemption code per Marvel Insider. Marvel Insider is open to U.S. residents 18 plus only. Terms apply. But listen, just a reminder, there are a limited number of redemptions. So save the code for you folks who actually listen to the podcast. Go over to marvel.com/insider. Enjoy those 5,000 points. You earned it.
All right, that's it for us. This episode of This Week of Marvel is produced by Zachary Goldberg, Isabel Robertson, Cara McGurk, Allison the Rain Sink, and Ryan Panagos.
Our senior manager of audio production and development is Brad Barton.
And Jill DeBoff is our director of audio.
And special thanks to Kang's Breakup Machine. Have you gone through a painful breakup? Just reach out to Kang, the Conqueror of Hearts, for a little time travel to fix up the past. Kang's Time Travel Breakup Machine. You're welcome, America. Goodbye.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Lorraine.
This is Marvel.
Your universe.